Welcome to Sports Central. I'm Rick Drewer.
I'm Phil Fechner.
Phil, how are you handling the cold weather?
Yeah, it's a bit hard.
Well, I mean, particularly since you're so slim and trim.
Oh, that's what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, really feeling it, Rick, since I've lost this weight.
Well, I can understand that, and I'm in the same boat.
Enough of that. Rick, round 9 of the BLNG.
Oh.
Some cracker games again.
Well, as we've been getting used to, I suppose.
First one, we had Central and Williston. Central 9 goals, 8. Williston 18 goals, 14. Charlie Best, Vidal second, and Worsty third. For Williston, Evans, Cormack and Lehman were their best three.
Well, I was fortunate enough to cover the game, or unfortunate, whichever, but considering the results of the others, I was fortunate. It was an interesting game because Central, having how they beat Barossa the week before, I have no idea. But Central won the toss with a cold and hurricane-type wind, and they kicked 7 goals, I think it was, in the first quarter. As you'd expect, by half-time, the lead had been whittled back to a point. And then after half-time, Williston just tore them apart.
Central kicked 7 in the first quarter and they kicked 9 for the game.
Correct.
What a cracker game.
They've kicked 2 goals, both from Kyle Wirst. You must read my stories in the paper, Phil, and catch up with what really happens. The only 2 goals they scored from quarter time onwards, that's 2 goals in 3 quarters, were both very sort of opportunic, good goals from Kyle Wirst, but they didn't look like scoring a goal.
Well, there you go.
But I tell you what, I've seen a good player, Saxon Evans.
Oh, okay. He's a big ruckman, isn't he?
Big, young, tall ruckman. Great athletic ability. I'm not sure who he's obviously playing for a top-up team.
I'd say it'd have to be Central, but I'll look that up. Rick.
But gee whiz, he was BOG by the length of the straight. Anyway,
there you go.
That enabled the Donnybrooks to finish at the end of round one. Now everyone's finished, now that the bye's over, etc. They are clearly in fourth position,
one game ahead of Central.
Yep.
And I think that's how it'll stay, Rick, won't it?
I cannot see any surprises.
I can't see it changing.
Unless you're Tanunda Machine.
The only thing I probably have changed, it was between Barossa and Newry. I think Newry will play South in the grand final again. So that's probably the only difference that I reckon I can see.
Yeah, I don't. I'm still
between Barossa and Newry, anyhow. But
yes,
I think Newry.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I mean, yeah, I think we've got. There's a fair bit of season to go.
Yeah.
For that to
halfway,
happen,
I think.
But I think really, yeah, I probably would lean towards you.
Yep.
Although, bearing in mind that Barossa flogged Newry in the first round.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Anyway, well, time will tell. Well, Rick, I was lucky enough, or unlucky enough, I journeyed up to Tanunda.
Well,
and I saw an absolute cracker game.
We had 13
goals scored all day on a beautiful, picturesque Tanunda Oval, which I thought might have been a bit muddy, a little bit muddy in the pitch, but the rest was absolutely beautiful. Had a nice little breeze blowing just to keep the temperature down, which meant I froze all day.
Well, hang on. I heard a how would you know? Because you were in the back row of the balcony in the grandstand.
I was in the back row of the grandstand, I can tell you that. And I was freezing. But anyway, I saw half-time. It's just anybody's game at half-time. 2 goals, 5 to 2 goals, 3.
Well, good listeners, you may recall from our last show that Phil tried to talk me into going to cover that game.
God, I'm glad you didn't.
So am I.
You know what? Half time, the Little Leaguers came out, and that was a mighty game. That
far
Little
more
game.
Entertaining.
Oh, honestly, it was a shocking game. For Tanunda, I'll say the score quickly: 4 goals, 10 Tanunda, to 9 goals, 4 Freeling. Porter, Hahn, and Calhoun were the best three for Tanunda. Koshiel, Poulton played very well.
Good.
As did big cocky Koshiel. Yeah. And Ross was third for Freeling. But an absolute terrible game. The skills were absolutely terrible, Rick.
Yeah.
Honestly, the standard of footy, it's the first game I've seen this year, so I'm only going by that game, and they were two lower sides on the ladder. But the standard of the Boston Light has dropped off considerable, Rick.
I would agree with that, yes.
Very disappointed with the game. Tanunda are really going to struggle. They're recruiting over the last couple of years.
Good listeners, because of the ethics and the morals of this program, I told Phil that he can't actually describe to you what he described of Tanunda's performance to me.
No, they were shocking. But anyway, I won't harp on it. We'll go into the next game, Rick, which was South and Angaston. Must have been quite a good game. South 12 goals 13, Angaston 9 goals 11. So for South was Burton Best, Barch and James, which are three names that come up most weeks. And for Angaston, Roberts, Miles and McInerney.
Yeah, I mean, I think South are off the boil, but then again, you know, do you really want to be on fire halfway through the season? And I think we, as was indicated with the grand final last year, the weakness of South is that they don't seem to handle wintry type conditions. I mean, in the middle of the sunshine, beautiful track, no breeze, they're unbeatable. But,
could be.
I guess it's the old story. Those sorts of conditions bring people back to the pack, don't they?
Yeah.
They even it up. Let's put it that way.
Yep. No, you're probably right. And for our last...
Could you say that again?
You could have been right. the last game was Kapunda, 5 goals, 3 to Newry, 18 goals, 16. For Kapunda, Whistler, Heinze and Brown. Aaron Whistler, best for Kapunda, the big ruckman. For Newry, Bentley kicked a bag, 4, he kicked 7. Hopner and Hooper were the best three for Newry. So I think we both tipped that. We tipped South. I tipped Tanunda. I think you tipped Freeling.
I did.
I tipped Williston, you tipped Central. So we're pretty even there, aren't we, Rick?
We are indeed. The interesting thing that worries me beyond belief is that Kapunda had all their big names playing as well.
Yeah, Evans and Whistler and Brownie and all, they were all in. So
there's no excuse.
No, so they weren't even competitive. No. So anyway, for this week, round 10, Rick, we're going to round 10. Barossa and Kapunda. At Barossa.
Barossa
for me. Central and South, Rick.
Central and South. South by plenty.
Yeah, South for me. It's at Central, but won't make any difference. Now, match of the round, Rick. Freeling versus Angaston.
Geez, you'd need to...
Knit old draw.
You'd need to queue up now to get in, wouldn't you? The crowds will be awesome. Ango.
Ango for me. And the last game, I think you're going to try and cover this one, Williston and Newry.
Yep, Williston and Newry at Williston.
Be the best game.
Yes, it will be. And hopefully that's where I'll be. I would suggest that if Williston had their full complement, they could give them a run for their money. But I've heard a rumour, it's alleged, that Saxon Evans...
Not playing.
Will not be playing.
Wow.
Cutting the story short, Newry.
Yep. Newry for me. So that's our tips for this week. I think we're all the same with those tips this week.
Yeah, incredible.
What's going on there?
So now, with your efficiency, AFL, Phil.
AFL. So 4 out of 6 last week for me, Rick.
Yeah.
I think we're about the same. I think there. I'm not too sure.
Yeah, I don't know how you rigged it. I thought I'd picked up one.
No,
you
didn't.
Somehow I didn't.
So anyway, you didn't. So quickly, we'll run through the AFL for this week. Brisbane and Richmond.
I'm going Brisbane.
Sydney and Geelong.
Geelong.
After Sydney's 205.
They've got to do something about West Coast. I don't know what it is.
I don't know what either. I mean, changing the coach isn't going to make much difference.
Well, it makes no difference.
No.
Because the coach doesn't actually run out. No coach runs out on the field. And you can say, well, one coach is a bit better than another, but not 200 points different.
No.
And they've got no players.
No. And they're getting rid of the guy that trains them because they've had so many tissue injuries. But
there
I don't know.
I mean, you're a long way behind the pack.
It's got to be deeper than that. I mean, it's been about 3 years.
It
anyway, so we're both going Geelong there. were we?
Yes.
Sydney
Geelong.
Yes. Yep. Adelaide and North Melbourne.
Adelaide, they've got everything to play for.
Yeah, Adelaide by plenty. Bulldogs and Freo.
Should be a good game. I'm going for the Bullies, particularly since it's in Melbourne.
Yep,
I'm going and for the Bulldogs. And Freo, they're a bit questionable and
away
don't
from
travel.
Home.
Yes,
I agree. Collingwood and Gold Coast.
Well, that could be a good game as well. Collingwood just seemed at this remarkable
scrape.
Well, I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? Because you've got Collingwood and Port basically at the top of the ladder, and both of them have done obviously very well, but they win a lot of their game, the close games.
Twice to Adelaide.
Yes.
2 points and 1 point.
But, and you know, I can't remember now. We did discuss it a few programs ago that Port have won 5 or so games led by less than 2 goals.
Yep.
Anyway, Collingwood for me.
Collingwood for me. Next game, Essendon and Port.
Everything in my body, Phil, suggests that I should say Port Adelaide, except my brain.
And your what? Where you got that?
I'm sitting on it.
What size you got on?
Right, I'm going for Essendon, I'm going for Essendon because statistics never lie.
Port for me by plenty.
And statistics say that of the 8 teams that have played a side that has played in the previous week.
Yep.
The 8 teams coming off the rest have all lost. Port are coming off the rest, they will lose.
Ken, 12.
Okay, I'm going Essendon.
Port for me. Hawks versus Carlton. Can the Hawks... funny team, aren't they? Their best is good enough.
It is.
And the worst is terrible.
I mean, you keep thinking Carlton can't keep on doing what they're doing. We're about to discuss in a minute where they were and where they are now. But I'm going to be brave and go Carlton.
I'm going Carlton too. Melbourne and GWS.
Melbourne.
Melbourne for me. Funny side again, though. A bit inconsistent, aren't they? They're saying that the Grundy and the big Maxi isn't quite working. So, so anyway. West Coast Eagles at home. At home. To St Kilda.
St Kilda.
St Kilda for me.
Yeah, I mean, St Kilda have got absolutely everything to play for as well.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
They're in the 8.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not convinced that they should be.
I agree.
But
it's probably them and Essendon are the
that's
two
right, but they have
ones.
To, they've got to win. Simple as that.
Yeah.
Now, while we're on that,
I've just got, look, quickly, I'll just run through. Hall of Fame last night, Rick.
Yes.
AFL Hall of Fame, which included some of the SANFL boys and a couple of SA boys. The 7, quickly, I'll just run through them. I won't go on about it. Sam Mitchell, Jimmy Bartel, Corey Enright from the SA boy, Tom Lay, Michael Aish.
Yeah.
Michael Aish, which is a good inclusion. Bruce McAvaney.
He
done a lot for sport.
He has.
And Choco Williams, Mark Choco Williams.
He is Port's premiership coach.
He is, and he brought that up and brought the tie and the strangulation up and all of that, all of those things.
He's king of the transport industry, you know.
Scott. We didn't mention it last week, but we didn't forget because we were about to go there. Alfie Skews buried last... Oh, well, not buried, but we went to his funeral.
Yes.
Lovely funeral. It came up on the AFL last night on the Hall of Fame, the people with the passing, and Alfie's name was up and a big picture of Alfie. Yeah. I thought it was a great tribute to the lovely
we
man.
We were lucky enough to interview him in 2 shows, which listeners can go back and find if they wish to. I don't think I've ever met anyone as nice, as modest. Incredibly talented, from being a jockey when he was a squimp
to a runner and
a footballer and a cricketer. I didn't realise any of those things.
Yeah.
Anyway, lovely, lovely man, survived by a lovely, lovely wife.
Certainly, and family.
And it was a
beautiful service at the Williston Footy Club.
It was very, very, very pleasantly and well done.
Privileged to go.
Yes.
Yep. Okay, we'll move on from that now, Rick. We're running out of time quickly.
Well, we will. Now, you asked me, I think, last show about the round 7
episode. Yes, I did.
Now, I've done some, for those listeners who cannot quite remember, The story goes that since the introduction of the AFL's top eight in 2000,
yep,
there's obviously been 23 completed seasons. In 20 of them, the teams finishing in the top eight have changed by a maximum of two only from the end of round seven. Now, going back, as you asked last week,
yes, I did,
to round seven.
Yep.
As we speak, and bearing in mind that the premiership table in the middle is very, very,
very
close,
very congested.
But at the end of round seven, the two sides that are now not in the eight are Geelong, who are actually technically equal eighth, but yep, they're out on percentage at the moment.
Yep.
So they're actually ninth at the moment. So they've dropped from seventh to ninth, but I reckon they might get back.
I tend to agree.
And Carlton, who was sixth, who have dropped to 15th. So I think we can write them off, yep, no matter what.
Yep.
But now, the sides that are in them at the moment are Essendon, who are actually technically sixth at the moment, who were ninth.
Yep.
And the Western Bulldogs, who were 10th, who are now 7th.
Yep.
But with the table the way it is, my prediction is that the rule of thumb is going to
go again.
Is going, yep, to exist, yep, again.
Yep. Fair enough.
So it's interesting. Nothing much changes.
No, it doesn't. Isn't that funny how it's very congested in the middle.
I mean, it's very congested in the sense that you've got St Kilda, Essendon and the Bulldogs on 32, equal fifth, as it were,
yep,
and then you've got Adelaide, Geelong, Gold Coast, and Frio on 28.
Yeah.
It's only one game, and they're equal, whatever you want to,
yep,
call it. But
yep,
it'll be interesting to see how it sorts its way out. So
tonight, Rick, exciting night.
Test
Can't
match.
Wait. Can't wait.
The Great Lords.
Great. Oh, it's at Lords.
At Lords. And I would suggest to you, Phil, that you ought to stay up.
Yep.
Particularly if England win the toss and bat, as they will do, if they do, whoever wins the toss will bat.
Yep.
But they could be 450 by team if they get going.
It's a one dayer.
That's the way they play.
Yeah.
But anyway, we won't go through an analysis that what they've done, I thought they might drop Bairstow, but they haven't.
Yep.
And they've brought in a quick. And they're going to let Joe Root do the off-spin bowling.
Okay.
So, and before we go, congratulations, the Australian women winning,
yes,
their five-day test match.
Yep.
Very interesting, and we won't spend time on it now, but the batting is very good in women's cricket.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's made easier because the bowling is so
quite as good.
No.
But quickly, Rick, we're only just touching on that Chapel Botham thing last night. Oh. Bit of a... What a fast, wasn't it?
To be honest, I've got a great deal of time for Ian Chappell. I thought it was embarrassing.
Schoolboy stuff.
I thought it was, I mean, all I can say is I hope they got paid a lot of money because their image of the two of them,
yeah,
and dare I say Ian in particular, dropped big time.
Yeah, and I did happen to watch that two-part series of Warney thing, and oh my God, that was as bad.
Yeah, well, I didn't bother.
Anyway.
Yeah, so.
All right, anyway, Rick.
As we're about to close.
Yes.
The doctor said to him, "You're a bit over-anxious. In fact, you're very much overreacting. Just take a few days off." He replied, "I can't. I'm playing Test cricket for England at Lord's tonight."
Well, what a fitting joke. There we go.
Oh, dear. Well, until next week, listeners, I hope you've enjoyed it. This is Rick.
This is Phil.